Revelation chapter 21, verse numbers 1 through 7. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Verse number 1. I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. From the beginning of the Holy Scriptures to the last words in this revelation, we are given many messages with physical and spiritual meaning and significance, sometimes mainly physical meaning, at times mainly spiritual. Our Lord was teaching important spiritual facts using plain human language. Some men understood him, others did not. Sincere disciples of our Savior understood his teaching to the extent of being able to see their need of asking questions. They learned the meaning and significance of the lessons he presented to them in words and demonstrated in deeds. He revealed to them many wrong traditional interpretations of God's word and pointed out to them their need to improve. In the beginning of our Master's teaching, the opposition of his teaching refused to turn from their evil ways to the gospel truth in the matters within the frame of their understanding. Their understanding turned dimmer, then dark, and in the end they became his staunch enemies and murderers. True disciples need to learn to the end of their journey. In the book of Acts, chapter number 21, verse numbers 10 through 14, we see godliness in practice. After Paul and his helpers tarried in Caesarea many days, there came down from Judea a certain prophet named Agabus. When he was come unto us, he took Paul's girdle and bound his own hands and feet and said, Thus says the Holy Ghost, So shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man that owns this girdle, and shall deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles. When we heard these things, both we and they of that place besought him not to go up to Jerusalem. Then Paul answered, What mean ye to weep and to break mine heart? I am ready not to be bound only, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus. When he would not be persuaded, we ceased, saying, The will of the Lord be done. What united the disciples was not identical experience, knowledge, or education. What brings them into the unity of Christ's Spirit is the strong desire that the will of the Lord be done. That was the difference between the lifetime learners of the everlasting gospel and the perverted minds of carnal men. Our Lord says, Ask, and you shall receive. Seek to find. I pray our Lord for His Spirit's guidance in expounding the last two chapters of this revelation. I have prayed all the time for each segment of every chapter, and I am grateful for so many corrections and His guidance so far. Considering these last two chapters of this book and of the entire Holy Scripture, I sense a greater need to avoid many pitfalls of carnality. I have heard so many superstitions and imaginations claiming these chapters as the base and proof of their correctness. Verse number 1 again. I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. Since the time John saw this vision, all three parts of this verse are still in place. The first heaven, earth, and the sea have not passed away. This vision predicts the future and enlightens our mind to eagerly wait for our God's full victory. In the book of Genesis, chapter number 6, verse number 7, our Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth. In the verse number 13, God says to Noah, I will destroy them with the earth. In the chapter number 9, verse number 11, I, God again, will establish my covenant with you. All flesh shall not be cut off anymore by the waters of a flood, nor shall be a flood anymore to destroy the earth. In our Lord's day, the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also, and the works that are therein, shall be burnt up. All these things shall be dissolved in the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The second epistle of Peter, chapter number 3, verse numbers 10 through 12. The words dissolve, melt, and burn indicate some degree of destruction, not always complete, permanent wiping out. As awesome as Bible revelations are, and beholding them as exciting as it can be, my perception is that the main purpose, meaning, and significance of the revealed visions is our admonition and encouragement to trust and obey our Creator and Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ. The temporal becomes secondary to us if we see the new heaven and the new earth. Like the two coins to the poor widow and to the martyrs their own life, to us, this life, with all its potential, is worthy only as much as we can invest it in our Lord's cause and purpose. Gospel according to Mark, chapter number 12, verse numbers 42 through 44. The book of Acts, chapter number 21, verse number 13. Revelation, chapter number 13, verse numbers 1 and 2, tell us, John stood upon the sand of the sea, and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having seven heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. The beast which he saw was like unto a leopard, with feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. The dragon gave evil power, his seat and great authority to that beast. Chapter number 17, verse number 15, add, the waters which you saw, where the whore sits, are peoples, and multitudes, and nations, and tongues. Chapter number 20, verse numbers 7 through 10, add on. When the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison, and shall go out to deceive the nations, which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. They went up on the breadth of the earth, and compassed the camp of the saints about, and the beloved city, and fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. The devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. The sea of sinful and apparently enormous mankind, mightily manipulated by the dragon's treacherous craftiness, shall be no more. All the power of Satan, sin, sinful world, and death disappeared in the process of bringing the ransomed children of our Heavenly Father into the new heaven and earth. The perfect creation replaces the old corrupted world. Verse number 2. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. The beauty and splendor of this vision seems to be too great for John to comprehend, let alone for me. The New Jerusalem is coming from our God. We are told in the Epistle of James, chapter number 1, verse numbers 17 and 18, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of light. In him is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of his own will beget he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. This heavenly city is the same beloved city, the camp of the saints, surrounded by Gog and Magog. In the chapter number 20, verse numbers 8 and 9. Back there, the city was still in the process of preparing, surrounded by Satan's hatred and protected by the Almighty Deliverer's power. Here the city is prepared for more perfect and everlasting unity with Him, the desire of her heart and soul, far away from all evil, away from all past attacks. All of her adornment and ornaments are solely, holy, and forever for her bridegroom's pleasure. No detail of her beauty is wasted on carnality, vanity, and falsehood. All are his love gift jewels. As long as the bride was in preparing for this great embrace of her bridegroom's love, he was sending pearls, jewels, ointments, and many gifts of everlasting value that no money or perishable gold and silver could ever buy. He gifted her with the sunshine garment of his own righteousness and holiness and crowned her with the crown of 12 stars. Chapter number 12. He graced her with fruitfulness to make her instrumental in giving birth to the child that rules over all from the throne of the ever-living God. He prepared for her the place in the wilderness and feeds her with the bread of heaven. He feeds her all the time, until this glorious embrace ushering the dawn of eternal joy and endless adoration of the Father and the Son. Verse numbers 3 through 5. I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. He will dwell with them. They shall be his people. God himself shall be with them and be their God. God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death, sorrow, weeping, nor any pain, for the former things are passed away. He that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. The voice out of heaven sounds with our Creator and Savior's satisfaction, pleasure and joy in his great work of saving. Just as he looked at his creation in the book of Genesis chapter number 1, every part was good, and altogether was very good. Such is our God's marvelous work in all his deeds. Yes, God has appointed the end of all evil. He has blissful eternal future for his flock. If we relax and wait idle, or if we fearfully keep silence and refrain from living and proclaiming the gospel, we deprive our souls of many blessings and endanger our life by disobedience to our God and rebellion against our Heavenly Father. These visions provide admonishment and encouragement for us to grow in faith and knowledge of God's Son. Let us pray to labor and strive in cultivating and harvesting His jewels. The entire Bible is His rich treasure, His gift to us. We see God's tabernacle in Exodus, the second book, but it has been present since the beginning. The blessed Eden was His tabernacle. Abel's altar was God's tabernacle. Noah's ship was His tabernacle. All altars of faith and adoration are in His, God's tabernacle. Even the fiery furnace and the den of lions became our God's tabernacle, just like the Isle of John's exile. The everlasting tabernacle is in our Father's grace in His beloved Son, our only and all-sufficient ransom. That is the only place where the fallen Adam's race is brought into the blessed fellowship of our God's grace and salvation. All structures built according God's instruction and His entire creations are such place. Our God is omnipotent, eternal. In the Epistle to the Colossians, chapter number 2, verse numbers 16 and 17, the tabernacle built in Exodus is a shadow of a reality to come, but the substance is in Christ. Let no man therefore judge you in meat, drink, in respect of a holiday, the new moon, or of the Sabbath days. All these things are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ. In the book of Exodus, chapter number 25, the Lord spoke unto Moses in the verse number 2, "Speak unto the children of Israel," in the verse number 8, "to make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them," in the verse number 9, "according to all that I showed thee." In the Epistle to the Hebrews, chapter number 8, verse number 1, "We have such an high priest who is set on the right hand of the throne of majesty in the heavens." Verse number 2, "a minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle which the Lord pitched and not man." Verse number 10, "This is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws into their mind and write them in their hearts, and I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people." Verse number 8, "Behold, the days come, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant." In the chapter number 10, verse numbers 9 and 10, "Then said the Son, Lo, I come to do thy will, O God. By this will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all." In the Epistle to the Romans, chapter number 7, verse number 4, "My brethren, you should be married to Him who is raised from the dead, that we bring forth fruit unto God." See Epistle to the Ephesians, chapter number 3, verse number 6, "You, Gentiles, should be fellow heirs and of the same body with Israel, prophets and apostles, and partakers of His promise in Christ by the gospel." Verse number 17, "That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love," verse number 18, "may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, length, depth, and height," verse number 19, "to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God." Read the Epistle to the Colossians, chapter number 3, verse numbers 9 through 17. "Deceive not one another, seeing that ye have put off the old man and his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of Him that created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all." Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-sufferings. Forbear one another and forgive one another, if any man has a quarrel against any. Even as Christ forgave you, so also do you. Above all things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which you are also called in one body, and you be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Whatsoever you do in word or deed, do you all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father by Him. Our Lord's Spirit gave these passages, preparing us continually for the splendor of His glory, we in Him completely. He is building His tabernacle in us as long as we are here in our body, striving for, praying for, and longing for full obedience and harmony with Him, the desire of our souls, our heavenly Bridegroom. We are not yet the perfected work of our Lord's eternal love, and already we have so much to praise Him for His loving, tender, wise, and enduring care. Our God is with us in His correction, but our very need for His constant correction indicates that we are not with Him all the time. He already wipes many of our tears away, yet we must face the fact that some of our tears are not His Son's motivation. Some are still our private interests. He gave us new life in His Son, but we still need to remove all of our old leaven. Our Father gives us so much comfort. Sadly, some of our sadness cannot be comforted. It has to be corrected. Some of our grief might be caused by negligence, wrong spiritual diet, or carnal desires. Before we can experience our Lord's comfort, we need to accept His correction. The time is coming for all penitent and correctable children of His covenant to be delivered from the remaining carnality, vanity, impatience, and all worldly distractions and influences. Our glorious and victorious King is going to triumph, as we see in the first epistle to the Corinthians, chapter number 15, verse numbers 50 through 57. Now this I, Paul, say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. This corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. When this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. Thanks to the Lord our God, which gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Our blessed Lord declares from His throne that He makes all things new. When did He begin that work? Did He ever quit? Even this word He gives us daily is new every day. Blessed be His name forever. John received our Lord's call to write. We are called to read, to listen, to believe, trust, obey, share, and proclaim the eternal word by desires, deeds, manners, and words. verse numbers 6 and 7. He said unto me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcomes shall inherit all things. I will be his God, and he shall be my son. He that is on the throne is the King Jesus. What is done? In the Epistle to the Romans chapter number 4, verse number 17, God calls those things which are not as though they were. In the second Epistle to Timothy chapter number 1, verse number 9, God has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. In the Epistle to the Ephesians chapter number 1, verse numbers 3 through 7, Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Accordingly, He has chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He has made us accepted in the Beloved. In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace. Epistle to the Hebrews, chapter number 4, verse numbers 2 and 3 also demand our earnest consideration. Unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. For we which have believed do enter into rest, as he said, As I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. The Apostle Peter helps us in his first epistle, chapter number 1, verse numbers 18 through 21. You know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by Him do believe in God, that raised Him up from the dead, and gave Him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Revelation chapter number 13, verse number 8, gives additional insight. All upon the earth shall worship Him, the beast, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Our Heavenly Father reveals Himself in His Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, as Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. Alpha is the first in Hebrew, and Omega is the end in Greek. His revelation unfolds forever. Abram the Hebrew received the blessing of Melchizedek, became Abraham, the father of all believers that in his seed, the Christ, are blessed to trust and obey the living word and receive that life forever in the Son of our Almighty God. Abel, Enoch, and Noah, the crucified thief, the 144,000, and the multitude in the white robes, all are one in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. The book of Genesis, chapter numbers 14 and 18, Psalm number 110, the Epistle to the Hebrews, chapter number 5, verse number 6 through 10, chapter number 6, verse number 20, chapter number 7, almost the entire chapter. In the book of Acts, chapter number 2, the great and everlasting Jubilee confirmed the ransom accepted by our Heavenly Father, and the trumpet of the everlasting gospel sounds forth. All the redeemed are free to trust and obey our eternal God's Son. His Spirit guides and protects them. The early scriptures were recorded in Moses' people's language, the Alpha speech. The revelation is copied in many languages of the Gentiles, the Omega communication. Since Abel until the last soul delivered from the yoke of sin by the gentle and mighty power of Christ's Holy Spirit, all are included, none is forgotten. All the saved are saved in Christ Jesus, God's Son. In the Gospel according to John chapter number 1, first 3 verses, Christ is the Alpha, the beginning of all ever created. In the following verses, He is the beginning of the new life in His Gospel light. Where our Lord is the beginning of the new life in the heart of a man, there He is the end of the sin bondage. In these chapters, He marks the beginning of His glory for His redeemed and the end of Satan's deceit. Our Lord Jesus invites in the Gospel according to Matthew chapter number 11, verse numbers 28 through 30. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. My yoke is easy, and my burden is light. He is still calling the mankind today to the new beginning of the life everlasting. In the Gospel according to John chapter number 4, verse number 14, our Savior speaks, Whosoever drinks of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. In the chapter number 7, verse numbers 37 through 39, he invites again, If any man thirsts, let him come unto me and drink. He that believes on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spoke he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. He is calling today still. In this book of the Revelation, chapter number 7, verse numbers 9 through 17, John sees a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations, all kindreds, all people and tongues, stand before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with the white robes and palms in their hands. In these last two chapters, numbers 21 and 22, it is done. They shout, Salvation to our God, which sits upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. All the angels stand round about the throne, and about the elders and the four beasts, and fall before the throne on their faces, and worship God. They say, Amen, blessing, glory, wisdom, thanksgiving, honor, power, and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen. One of the elders said unto John, What are these which are arrayed in white robes, and whence they came? These are they which came out of great tribulation, and have washed their robes, and made them white in the Lamb's blood. Therefore are they before the throne of God, and serve Him day and night in His temple. He that sits on the throne dwells among them. They hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither the sun lights on them or any heat. The Lamb in the midst of the throne feeds them, and leads them unto living fountains of waters. God wipes away all tears of their eyes. Our Heavenly Father is still revealing His glory, majesty, mercy, grace, and justice today, all in His beloved Son, our Savior. this living water fountain still overflows abundantly, and the blood from his wounds still washes penitent hearts from all sin. Let all the thirsty souls come and drink. Let them be washed from all sin and receive his life everlasting in our King. He that overcomes inherits all things. The Almighty is his God, and he is a joint heir with Christ. Epistle to the Romans, chapter number 8, verse number 17. In the Gospel according to John, chapter number 1, verse number 12, as many as received him, to them he gave power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe in his name. In the Gospel according to Luke, chapter number 11, verse number 9, our Savior says unto us, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. Everyone that asks receives, and he that seeks finds, and to him that knocks it shall be opened. Our Father's grace in Christ endures forever. At his appointed time, his call to repentance will be replaced with his judgment.